Hello.
Hello.
Welcome to Mind Body Stuff. I'm Kaylee.
I'm Bernice.
Woo!
Wow. Hello. Our lines are really bright and green today.
I hope that means it's going to be a good one. The bigger the waves, the better the podcast.
The better the surf.
That's right.
That's right.
No or the wind. More dangerous the surf.
Well, maybe not too big. Medium size. Same with these waves. They should be like medium
size. These are nice sound waves, I think.
Yeah, they are.
Julie will tell us.
Hello, Julie. Hello, everybody. How are you?
Hello.
We miss you.
We're good. We've spent an intense amount of time together. I feel like I haven't seen you for about 12 hours, and now we're back together.
And now we're back together. Yes, because we were in Billings, Montana.
Billings. Oh, it was awesome.
It was wonderful.
We were there for Ulawan training and then a Let Love In workshop. Man, those are just powerful experiences for me.
They are very... I feel kind of raw afterwards.
Like I feel raw. Scary. It's easier for me to cry. Definitely.
Oh, yeah. Today I taught a class, you know. Oh, anyway, we'll talk about it when we talk about this topic. But
okay.
You might say I didn't hold up to my end of the topic today.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no. I'm excited to hear this story. But so today we wanted to talk about resiliency.
Resiliency.
Because it's actually at the end of this same exact workshop, the Let Love In workshop that we did in Helena. One of the things that we asked that group of women at the end was like, if there was a relationship with anyone, either with themselves or with somebody else that they wanted to, you know, put some attention into or think about letting love in or the flow of love between themselves and that person. And one of the women was talking about her kids and resiliency. And like, obviously, I don't know. Obviously, we talk about resiliency a lot without ever actually talking about mm-hmm. it. And it's like when she said that, it was just like, oh my gosh, resiliency,
mm-hmm.
resiliency. So much of like, I feel like what I'm grappling with as a person and as a parent is like how to be a good mom while also teaching resiliency.
Yes.
And it's like, I don't know, the way that she said it, it was just like, oh my gosh, like, I can't believe we're not talking about this more.
Right. And resiliency is so important. Well, anyway, for all of us, but for me as a mom in particular, because I have all these like images of like, you know, first they're babies and everything's great. And they're, you know, I mean, they're hard, but I mean, you're not worrying about what's going to affect them later in life, really.
Mm-hmm.
But then they start to grow up and, you know, now I have a sixth grader and I'm just starting to think about, I'm just thinking about all the things like, oh no, kind of the stuff we talk about in the workshops, like how you start out as a pure little human baby.
Yeah.
And then all these layers get put on you.
Right.
As they do. It just happens in life.
Right.
And how do I make sure my son is resilient? Because now he's entering, he's in middle school.
Right.
And this is kind of where we hear all the stories happening.
Oh God, middle school.
Then I went to the cafeteria. And, you know,
people threw a pizza at my face.
Yeah, and it's like, so part of it is like thinking, how do we teach these kids how to be resilient? So because right. these things are going to happen, regardless of how popular or how athletic you are, whatever, how beautiful you are, whatever the things you think you might have, your attributes.
Right.
It just happens. Things happen. Bad things happen.
They just happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it was also just such a perfect topic for us to explore this week too, because as most of you know, we travel with Frankie, who's 6 months old now, but we can't have her during the day at these workshops and trainings. And so
we've tried
unsuccessfully, shall we say. But so I have to find babysitters to watch her during the day. And we always reach out to the ULA community. And I think most of you may feel a similar way as I do, but it's like, oh, are you an ULA person? Then I feel like I can trust you. You know, there's like this inherent like trust built into knowing that these people, these women do ULA, but still ultimately I don't know them and nor does Frankie.
Right.
And so I was having like a lot of, anxiety about this trip and just, you know, having her stay one day with one woman and the next day with another woman. And I was just, you know, even though I knew that they would be amazing women, it still felt stressful for me as a mom.
Leaving her with strangers.
with strangers.
Yeah.
But it just, again, the topic of resiliency came up, you know? Yes. And like, you helped me with it and Rob helped me with it to be like, she's going to be okay.
Yes. And part of it is actually teaching resiliency.
Yes.
In a weird way.
Both.
Or maybe not so weird way, but kind of a weird way. It seems counterintuitive.
Right.
Because you feel like, I'll just keep her.
Well, yeah, yes.
All the time.
Yes, you want to just keep them because you're like, I'm the mom. They know me. They love me. I can protect them.
I'm the safest person.
So, of course, they should only be with me.
Yes.
But ultimately, I don't think that may be what teaches them resiliency.
No, not really, I don't think.
And yeah, of course. I mean, she spends the majority of her life with me. It's not like I'm absent, but for these 2 days, I needed to leave her with somebody else. And it was, I think, just a very good opportunity for me to explore the topic of resiliency and for my daughter to also begin to get these experiences that teach her resiliency.
Yes.
That it is okay to be left with a stranger. And, you know, that it's going to be okay.
Right. And it's like, we were just reading up on it on our drive home on resiliency.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things is surrounding your children with supportive, loving people.
That are, yes, you of course included, but people besides their immediate caretakers.
Yes. And they start to learn that not only can I just go to you.
Right.
But I can go to her or him or her.
And I think this is another topic we've been exploring a lot lately is just... We don't have tribes anymore. And so when we take away the security and the safety of a tribe and we only have our children experiencing their immediate family, we're losing some of this resiliency, I believe, because if your immediate family isn't there, you know, it's not like, well, you're with auntie or you're with, you know, so-and-so. We don't have that safety net. And so I think that parenting is actually more stressful now for us who live in these isolated households.
The nuclear family.
The nuclear family. I think it's more stressful mm-hmm. for families.
Yes. And maybe not the best for resiliency.
Mm-hmm.
Although what we were talking about the other day is how you use childcare,
mm-hmm.
the daycare, and how mm-hmm. it was like when I was brought up, as many of you heard the story, my parents were very busy, so they hired somebody who took care of me, who was a wonderful person, Kay. And but the problem is she was my only person.
Right.
So it became apparent when I was about 8 or 9 years old that I had huge separation anxiety.
Uh-huh.
Because
With Ba.
So yep. Even if it was like, you can go to Kaylee's house to mm-hmm. spend the night.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
I just would... completely throw me for a loop.
Right.
I tried to go to the carnival 1 year.
Yeah.
Which all your friends in the grade go. They get out of school. Everybody goes. Third grade, fourth grade. It's fine. I think it's fourth grade. And, you know, Kay comes. She's there.
Why are you calling her Kay all of a sudden?
Well, that was what I called her when I was little. But now we call her Ba because Ba means grandma. Once we had kids, we called her Ba.
Oh, but before you called her Kay.
Or Mom. I'd go, Mom, and they'd both look. And I'd be like, not you, you.
Oh.
And I'd point to the one I wanted.
Oh, my gosh.
So anyway, back to my resiliency story. She takes me to the carnival, and it's fourth grade. Now we're pretty old. We're like 9 and 10-year-olds, right? And everyone's going on the rides, and suddenly I'd get completely anxious, and I can't do it, and I run up to her, and I stay with her the entire time.
Oh, interesting.
And you would say, I'm not super resilient at that point.
Right.
And it's creating a tremendous amount of stress on me
mm-hmm.
to learn to even be in my peer group, to mm-hmm. trust my peers.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would say it probably would have been better for me if I had more exposure to more children and mm-hmm. more adults
mm-hmm.
that were trusting, loving people.
Right. What do you think about me? Do you think I'm resilient?
Yeah, you're pretty resilient. Yeah.
Well, I'm just thinking about my childhood, which was very different than yours.
Yes.
Like, parents divorced when I was 9 months old. So from like literally the beginning of my life, going from house to house to house.
Did they do childcare?
Oh yeah, because they worked.
Yeah.
You know, so then I was at childcare, and then after school we'd go to the babysitter's house until
those things I think might help.
Like, until you got picked up at 5 o'clock.
Like, and you anticipate. The other thing is, of course, the parent always shows up.
Mm-hmm.
So the kid kind of knows, like, I go to this place. But I know
the parent shows up.
Parent will show up. I'm not here sort of indefinitely. That would not work for resiliency.
Yeah. Or don't know when the parent is going to show up. It's very clear that the parent is coming back and when the parent is coming back.
That's completely anxiety producing. And we would say,
if we don't know when.
But if we do the childcare,
however, be careful who you have as childcare.
Yeah.
When we were in Helena.
Trusting, loving adults.
Trusting, loving adults.
Yes.
Well, yes. But they also, even if they're trusting and loving, some of them can be very odd. We drove by my babysitter's house when we were in Helena. And I was like, and this is where I used to go after school. This was my babysitter. And then I remembered that my babysitter had like an insane fear of us getting kidnapped or her own kids getting kidnapped.
One would say she wasn't resilient around that topic.
Yes, I think you're right. And that like put the fear of being kidnapped so strongly in me. I remember when I used to have to walk to piano lessons on Tuesdays, it was like the worst thing in my entire life to walk from school to piano lessons and then back home because I was sure that I was going to get snatched.
Yeah, because you learned it.
I learned it was scary to be outside alone. Mm-hmm. Like we could not play in the yard because she thought we would get taken.
Folks, I saw the yard.
No, we sat inside a lot and watched TV.
Yeah.
So yeah, she was loving to us and she, you know, she could be trusted, but she had some oddities that then probably some of that got transferred onto me.
Yes. Which happens.
But somehow then I got less afraid of being kidnapped.
Yeah. Because you could then probably walk around the town and stuff.
Yeah, I don't remember when it went away, but thank God it went away.
I still have anxiety about walking around
by myself. Oh, do you?
Oh, yeah, huge.
I would think that I'd be afraid of, like, at night, like when Rob's gone.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty comfortable sleeping, like, at home alone and stuff.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. I'm good at home alone if I have the dogs and the...
Oh,
as
yeah.
As long as I'm in my house, I'm fine. Of course, you'd be murdered in your house. I don't want
yeah.
to. But,
you totally could.
But let's worry about that now. But if I'm in my home, I feel like everything's okay. But if I go out of it.
Oh, then you can't be sure what's going to happen.
Anxiety level kind of go up, which I think is just from childhood.
Sure.
And that could have been, and of course, as we were reading yesterday, these behaviors can be learned and they can be improved upon.
Right.
Which I think for me, one of the things that's helped me is traveling for ULA.
Oh,
Actually, because I'm not with my family.
Right.
I'm with friends. Uh-oh, a peer group.
A peer group.
That I've learned to, it's everything's fine.
Yeah.
Like we travel, we rent cars, we eat.
We do eat. Yes.
We meet lots of really awesome people.
Yeah.
But so that's almost training me from that childhood resiliency that wasn't really taught to be more resilient as an adult.
Right. And it's interesting because as an adult, you can almost see a mom's safety net being their kids.
Yes.
You know, which is also kind of very interesting to think about that it's not only like kids with their parents, but you see these moms who are just like, I don't feel safe when I don't have my kids with me.
Oh, yes. Most definitely.
Which is interesting.
Yeah, that's a whole nother interesting topic.
It is.
If they're attachment people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, who your attachment person is.
Right. And then a lot of times that gets dumped on the kid, which of course you are attached, but you know, they're gonna grow up and leave.
Right.
Unlike maybe your partner, hopefully will stay with you. I hope you do, Mike.
You're kind of pushing it lately, though, aren't you?
I am pushing it a little bit.
You better be careful.
Here's a good story about last night.
Oh, let's hear it.
I get home.
Uh-oh.
And everything's kind of okay, except my TV doesn't work.
Okay.
In the kitchen area.
Okay.
And I turn it on and it just says, no signal. And I'm like, uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
Who's been messing with TV? And
you're so resilient.
But something about the TV just sets me off.
Sounds like it.
So I look around and Ray, my youngest, is like, Everett took that and he had it in the garage. I'm like, he had the TV in the garage?
Everett,
naughty boy. So Ray's like, yeah, he took it out to the garage. I don't know why he took it out there. And I'm like, well, we don't need to know why he took it to the garage. But he brought it back, but he didn't set it up right.
Right.
So then suddenly I'm trying to make it work, and then I turn to them, Ray and my husband, and I'm like, I just can't do this anymore. My life is a wreck. I'm in charge of everything.
You like that?
This TV. And I went upstairs, stomped upstairs, and cried.
You did?
I did.
Oh, no.
And they're all like, what's happening? Because they're to them.
No.
They're just like, it's a TV.
Yeah.
And so
they're more resilient than you are.
They're more resilient than I am with these, for whatever reason, those small things are just like, it's upsetting.
It's upsetting.
Yeah. And I felt like I might not make it.
Yeah.
But isn't that an interesting...
I think that is interesting. I had a very different experience when I got home.
Oh.
I feel like that Let Love In workshop, it rocked my world yesterday for some reason. My house was messy and I was like, I don't care. I had a great time with my kids. It was awesome.
Oh, good for you. I mean, I would have been good except for the TV.
Except for the TV. You got something nicked your trigger.
Nicked my trigger. And the thing is, I think after the workshops.
Yes.
I feel more raw.
You're just raw.
And so normally I'd be like, maybe I'd be like, God, these kids or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But for whatever reason, and that is resiliency. I felt it suddenly, I was more raw.
Yes.
And then I felt just shattered. All your
defenses were down.
Defenses were down. I didn't have my normal coping mechanism.
Yeah, because you let them down. So you can let the love in.
That's exactly right.
So isn't that interesting? We've got to figure out how to let love in while also being resilient or having boundaries that keep us resilient. And that's what we mentioned yesterday.
That's a very good point.
Is like there's so much about boundaries that tie into this let love in topic as well.
Yes.
It's fascinating to me. It really is.
Yeah, there are boundaries.
There are huge boundaries.
Oh, that's right.
Like love is so interesting.
It is.
Because it can be like, I mean... Yeah, it's like one of the hardest things to access, but one of the easiest things to access, one of the most important things. It's like, but also one of the most destructive things,
yes,
you know?
It can take over your entire life.
You can justify negative behavior because of love
the
for so
for
long. The
I
search
gave up
for
so much stuff searching for love.
Yeah, know? Or like I tolerate so much mm-hmm. because I love this person. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like just really interesting.
Mm-hmm. And the expectations around it.
And the expectations around
love
it.
Love will look like this.
And like, why is it so freaking hard for us to love ourselves? Why is it so hard to love ourselves? Like, what is that about?
I don't know. So sad. Well, that's the thing is I want our children to learn to love themselves.
I want them to feel safe in their own love.
And if they don't feel love or something feels like it rocks them.
Yes.
That they're resilient enough
they're
to
resilient.
Know that they're lovable and loved.
How is Rob so resilient?
He's more resilient. I'm not sure.
We talked about this last night, which was funny too. Oh, and I got home. So we have a friend, Theo, staying with us. And they're both, Rob and Theo, they're like the British and American kind of version of each other in many ways. They just like can putz around and they've like, it's like my two dads with them and the little girls. They just have very similar ways of like moving through the world. And one of the things that we were reading on our drive home is that optimism is a big piece of resiliency. And both of them are so optimistic. Like they had some funny things happen this weekend and like little disasters with the big girls and like little disasters on the road trip. They took Huxley and Piper down to Colorado for like 8 days, which is very ambitious, I think. And they just like, they're both so optimistic. And I think they're just both so resilient.
Mm-hmm.
And I think optimism plays a part in that. Now, sometimes I'm not always as optimistic as I should be.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that that's something that I want to continue to work on.
Sometimes I think I'm very optimistic.
As she makes a weird face and looks, her eyes dart around the room. Do you think? You are with some things.
Some things I am.
But you're very odd because massive, massive problems you're very optimistic about.
I love massive problems.
You love a massive problem.
I feel like they're much more.
You're like, is there an earthquake that destroyed the town? I'll figure it out. Don't worry. And you probably could. But then it's like, you know.
What about the TV?
The TV. We're fucked.
It's the end of the world.
It's so funny to me.
I don't know why that is. It's a very odd, but it's true. Big things I don't.
Big things you're fine.
I feel like, well, we're all together. This is a community. Maybe I feel like we're together in it. Like we can round up a bunch of people.
Right.
But alone, if I feel alone, like in the house and like I can't get the gutters clean or something, then I'm like, that's the end.
That's the end.
That's the end. Really, there's no one to ever do a gutter.
What I loved about our kind of research about resiliency too, though, is that like, and you mentioned this just a few minutes ago, but it can be learned, which gives me hope because those kids, you know, you always think like, And it, there is so much research out there about, you know, what happens in our childhood is really, I mean, it really sets us up for the rest of our life. And so that to me is like, oh my gosh, my kids, I'm going to like, if I don't get this right, if I don't get this right when they're little, between 0 to 5, if I don't get this right, I'm going to screw them up for the rest of their lives. Because there's all of that research about how important these years are. Mm-hmm. But what I did find reassuring was that resiliency can be learned.
Yeah, and the article we were reading was like, yes, yes, yes.
Yes.
You can.
And there are all these different things. And we can share the article if you guys want to read it about like different things and activities that you can do with your kids, but also things that we can do as adults.
The same thing. I mean, it works just the same.
Yeah. Well, I thought some of the ones were cute for kids, like even how like a board game helps create resiliency.
That was a great thing. Because like it was a good point because I never played board games because I didn't have sibs or anything either at home.
That means siblings.
Thank you. She gets to speak
into
this.
K means ba.
She gets to speak into this like netted thing, which I wish I had. It doesn't even work.
Okay, we can turn the mic. I don't want you can have the netting.
No, I mean, it looks pretty. It looks like you might be a singer.
Oh!
You have ever seen the singers, they sing into like a net. Have I seen that before?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that looks so cool. Oh, maybe when they're recording records.
I think so.
Is when they sing into the net. But what were we talking about? Oh, the board games.
Yeah.
The importance of board games. Because this is funny because my husband pointed out to me years ago, he's like, you need to play board games. And I'm like, I don't like them, which I don't. Because I never learned how to lose.
Right.
Where I never learned. Board games teach you also. They teach you strategy.
Yeah.
They teach you, you know, that you're not always going to win, that you got to think ahead.
Yeah, problem solving.
Problem solving. All
at times,
things.
Teamwork.
Yeah, and you just, I just never, I underestimate the power of a board game.
Yeah, games in general, I think, are
games
so important
in general,
for kids.
Yes, such mm-hmm. a good point.
Yeah.
Because it teaches you teamwork.
Yes.
It teaches you can depend on another.
Yeah.
Or maybe you can't, but you start to trust who you are. Mm-hmm. That's probably resiliency too.
Yeah.
And what you know and what you can do and who you can trust.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So board games, super important for any type of game.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I think what ultimately it reminds me, this topic of resiliency, and especially in terms of raising children, but for those of you who aren't raising kids right now, hopefully this is still, it's interesting to you as well.
But these topics can be applied to us.
Yeah.
As grown-ups, too.
It's not our job to shield our children from difficult things.
No.
It's our job to give them the tools to cope with difficult things.
Like it says, one of the things is it's facing fear, but with support.
Yes. Yeah. Bad things are going to happen. Bottom line, bad things are going to happen. So we don't want to completely protect them from bad things because I don't think that's helpful. But can we give them the support and tools that they need when it does happen?
Like Huxley falling off the bike.
Yeah. Like Huxley falling off the bike, which... You know, maybe I gave her the, you know, I don't know. Hopefully
I mean,
we can.
Support.
I gave her support. I gave her hopefully ways that,
it was
that
kind
she
of
could
a
do.
Healthy balance of letting her feel.
Letting her feel. Giving her tools to breathe, to isolate the pain to where she was feeling it, blah, 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 blah. But even with, even like today. So I was gone, you know, Friday afternoon, got back in time for bedtime last night, and here I am back at work. And of course my kids were like, no, Mom, I want you to go. But if I would have let that override, then it would be like, okay, yes, I can't let them experience this pain of, you know, missing me again or me being gone or whatever. But it's like, no, here are the things. Like we played this morning. We had a lot of fun. We made flower bouquets. We did chalk on the sidewalk. Like we had a great morning. I was like, I'm going to be gone for an hour and a half and then I'll be back and we're going to do all these things. But if I'm like, I don't want them to feel that way. I don't want them to have to miss me. I don't want to feel, you know, guilty for leaving them again. No, it's like, it's okay. Mom has to go to work. Literally, you kids are lucky. I have to go to work for an hour and a half.
Right. Okay? You don't have to go work
some
for
moms are at work for nine hours. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're okay.
Yeah.
You're okay.
And that's teaching them to trust.
Yeah.
Because you do show up.
Yes, they can trust me that I'll show back up.
Mm-hmm. I was like, there's Mom.
And you are supported while I am gone. Mm-hmm. You have your dad and
your
Uncle Theo.
Two loving, supportive.
Two loving, gentle men.
Grown-ups.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, but there was that moment that I'm like, God, am I a bad mom? I'm leaving for work again. I was gone all weekend. I was gone all last weekend. But it's like, no, guess what? This is life, babies. And I love you.
Yeah, right.
And you're fine.
And you will be fine.
And you will be fine.
And the other thing is letting them sit with their discomfort.
Yes.
This will make you feel uncomfortable. My leaving will make you feel uncomfortable. That's okay too.
Totally.
Because you know what? I'm going to come back.
Yeah.
And then I'll leave again and you'll feel uncomfortable again. Right. But it's almost like these little incremental things too. Yes. Like, and that might be why I have a hard time with endings and beginnings.
Mm.
Because for so long I never had an ending.
Right.
I think there was no one ever, you know, Bob was like, you know, I'll be back in the morning. And there she was in the morning.
Right.
And there was no,
but that's with all parents.
Yeah. But she never, I never, there was so much fear about going anywhere, doing anything or with other people.
Mm-hmm.
So then it became, that was the only person that could do that.
Right. And I love having my kids in childcare. They are so, like, they're used to trusting other adults. They're used to figuring things out with their peers.
Oh, and they're so good at interacting too, because you know, they're just like used to other adults and children.
Right.
So then they're like, there's a kid. Oh, hello, kid. Or hello, I'm an, you know, here's an adult.
Right.
And I've seen 4 different other adults today.
Those daycare people are so good at it too.
Oh my goodness.
Because, like, you know, Piper may be like, I want to go home, blah, blah, blah. And they know exactly what to say. And then you can just feel it in Piper's body. She'll relax.
She relaxes.
She turns to them and she opens their.
Tell me what they say.
They're like, do you want to go sit on the counter and help me make breakfast?
Oh, they distract.
Yeah.
With something fun.
Or they're like, baby monkey missed you all night. He's so excited to see you. Oh, and then she'll be like, baby monkey.
That's,
you know?
So smart.
But it also kind of teaches you that everything is constantly always changing. You know, it's like if I just sat with that, oh my gosh, she wants to come home, and I didn't get to see that transition change.
Yeah.
Then maybe that feeling would be like, okay, I can't have her in school. I can't have her in preschool.
Right.
It's not fair to her.
No.
She doesn't want to be here. But just to see that so quickly, her emotions could then change around being there, and then she has a great day.
And what if the adult was not like that?
Yeah.
What if the adult was like, oh, I know it's going to be terrible.
Or just like, oh, she just wants you, mom.
Or like,
or give your mom another hug because she's leaving for the day.
Exactly.
You know, like, that's probably what I would do.
I'm like, you're going to be okay. You're going to be okay.
You're going to be all right.
And then kind of sounding not okay.
Even like when I gave Frankie to the two women this weekend, I'm like going over all the details. Oh. I'm like, do you need to write this down? And the first one was like, no. She just said it in a way where I was like, oh yeah, you've got this.
Like,
this is really not that big of a deal.
I really get this.
It's really not that big of a deal.
And then how about when Karen brought Frankie back yesterday and we had to go, it was just on our lunch break or something. It was one of our breaks.
Yeah.
And then you're like, maybe I could have her for the rest of the afternoon.
And I'm like, well, we just do this exercise. Maybe I should just have her. And Bernice was like, no. Give her back. And of course I give her back and Frankie's got the biggest smile on her face and they go have a great afternoon. Like it was fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so I think it's resiliency in me as well as Frankie.
Yes.
It's like a gift for both of us
to
be able to do this.
Also modeling resiliency.
Modeling resiliency.
Because if I'm like, because Ba was kind of anxious too, of course. So she'd be like, you're going to be okay. You know, kind of like, it was always like, don't get lost. Watch out for that car. Everything was like worried. Everything was anxious.
Mm.
So I think if I'd had a different type of caregiver too, that was just kind of like,
yeah,
just, you'll be fine.
You're fine. Go play with your friends.
Go play with your friends. I'm going to be, Ride your bike over there.
It's not like in an hour.
Don't ride your bike on the street because you remember when Gerald was killed. You know? I'm like, what?
Gerald was killed. I'm going to
die. And I'm like, so even now I can't really ride a bike very well, but I'm learning how. And I rode my bike to Kaylee's house the other day to her new house, which I was very proud of. And I felt like Kaylee was proud of me too.
I was proud of you. I was kind of shocked.
Yeah.
I was like, you're on a bike.
I know.
Whoa.
Yes.
Yeah, it's cool.
Because I'm learning resiliency and my husband's very good at it, teaching it. Like, you will play a board game.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, board game.
It's so funny because you are such a strong and powerful woman, but it's so funny. Like, some of these things you're like, really?
The little weak.
The little things. It's like the little things just upset you so much. Oh. But it's like, you are strong and powerful and you've lived all over the world and you've done crazy shit that I would never do. I would never do some of the stuff that you've done.
Let's go take over the hospital over there. I'm like, okay, let's.
Yeah, but then it's like, can you call and order in a meal? And you're like, I don't know. I don't think I can. wait, what's it called? How do I find their phone number? I'm like, oh my God, give me a break.
That's interesting, isn't it? So I can work on, and I'm getting better at that too, sort of. But learning resiliency
yeah.
in all areas of your life,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm. And I just thought that that was such a cool, like when she said that that last weekend in Helena, I was like, oh my gosh, yes, resiliency. We can't protect our children. We can't protect ourselves from pain and heartache in difficult situations, but we can teach them. We can teach ourselves resiliency. We can learn the tools. We can use the tools and help reduce some of our suffering.
Yes, exactly.
You
want to suffer for the things that you should suffer for.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
And after Helena, I went home and I literally said to my kids, I said, I know that I'm going to say things to you that are going to impact you, that are going to hurt your feelings, or that are going to make you like, that are going to make you stop and be like, oh my gosh, because we can all of us, I'm sure listening to this podcast, can think back on our childhoods and pull out very definitive moments that our parent or somebody that we trusted said something that just broke our heart, mm-hmm. or that just really set us up for being self-conscious about something
or sensitive.
So what I went home and I said to my kids is, if I say something that hurts your feelings, like, or whatever, like, please just tell me in the moment so you don't have to be like, you know, carrying this around with you for 25 years.
Yes. And they say that's part of resiliency. Resiliency.
Yeah.
Resilience. Pardon me. Is being able to ask for help.
Yes.
So we want to encourage our children and ourselves.
Yeah.
Something's happening. You don't know what to do.
Yeah.
Say, hey, I'm having a hard time with this.
Yes.
Or if someone says something to you, I didn't like the way you said that.
Right.
At least having that honest, open, like,
yeah.
being able to express
or,
your
mom, feelings. That really hurt my feelings when you said that, you know, that no one was going to like me because I, no, I'm kidding.
Right.
I hopefully would never say anything that harsh.
But, you know, things like that, you know, we sometimes
but
say.
But we say things and we say it because we're also not perfect.
Yes. Yeah. And I felt, you know, terrible afterwards.
But it
about
seems
it.
Like Jo's super resilient and you've said awful things
awful
to her.
Things. Yes.
You've said awful. We've all heard this story.
Before, of course.
Yes.
And I apologize for that, Jo.
But how is she, like, she's got,
you know,
she's
what?
Got
she
pretty
was,
good resiliency.
She knew, like, it was like, we're holding our own here. Like, she, right back, she said, you do not say that to me.
Oh, see, there you
so
go.
So she held her own.
Yeah.
And then I knew, right, when she said it to me.
And probably, was, especially when she punched you.
She punched me on the arm.
And yeah.
And then
you're like,
knew,
okay.
Yeah,
okay.
That was, yeah. I said something that was wrong.
Yeah.
It was almost like we were teaching each other resiliency
yeah.
there in that relationship.
Right.
That it was like, oh, that was very hurtful to
mm-hmm.
her. And she was like, you will
you don't
not
talk to me like
talk
that.
Talk like that to me. And mm-hmm. I was like, she's exactly right.
But she was a teenager. So how do we do it with our little kids who still worship us and think that we are, you know, all-knowing,
yeah,
godlike.
The most amazing things around.
And they believe what we tell them.
Yeah, it was like,
you know.
I think Ray was really good as a little kid because he would always just say, he would say something like, the way you said that hurt my feelings.
Yeah, yeah.
And he would really recognize tone
mm-hmm.
between even adults and kids.
Mm-hmm.
He would say it to the kids, too. He would say, you know, you can't say that, those words to me. They're hurtful.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
And I'm not,
which
I think
is so important.
You know what? I think we modeled it
mm-hmm.
in the home because it
yeah.
was always like, if I said something wrong, now
then,
after Joe
yeah.
taught me, then I say, oop. I apologize for that. That
yeah.
was not right, what
yeah.
I said.
Yeah. And I think, too, like, just, yes, making that part of the culture of maybe not even just you and your kids, but you and your friends, you and your whatever, like, so that we can be honest about that. Like, hey, that was hurtful when you said that.
Yeah.
Rather than internalizing everything, because I feel like that's the problem is
that
we just internalize and then we have no resiliency
and
because we've let other people's words or actions or situations just like break us down internally. We don't have that resiliency and I don't want it to sound like a boundary or like a blockage, like, but it is an interesting thing to think about armor
mm-hmm.
versus resiliency
yes.
and armor doesn't let anything in or out, but the resiliency I think is almost this like net that can filter through a filter
yeah,
you know, to be like that I'm not gonna let that in
yes.
I'm not gonna let that into my innermost space
yes
You know, and then another thing that Huxley's preschool has taught them and Piper's is they talk about it in terms of that comment really emptied my bucket.
Oh, yeah, the bucket analogy.
Or you know, the time that we got to spend today really filled my bucket. Yes. So just using that language ourselves so that they can then model that language.
In that book, there was a whole book, Can You Fill My Bucket or whatever
sure,
it is.
Sure, yeah.
I can't remember. We'll look it up. I have it. But that's all about resiliency.
It is.
So yes. Emptying your bucket. When your bucket gets empty, you better know, being aware of an empty bucket mm-hmm. versus a full bucket, mm-hmm. being aware of what fills your bucket mm-hmm. and what empties your bucket.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And for me, I know that.
And that's what they're teaching at the childcare right away. Right?
It totally
is. You see that? So they become aware of, when this happens, it empties my bucket. Or when this happens, it fills my bucket.
Right.
So, or when I give to this person, It fills
my bucket.
And it fills their bucket, too.
Yeah. When my mom calls me a whore, it empties my bucket.
My bucket got empty there. But you know what? I'm going to kick her bucket right on over.
I'm going to empty her bucket now. And then the whole world just tries to kick each other's buckets over. But you can see how it happens.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You can see how when you get your bucket empty, you want to just empty other people's buckets sometimes, too. Oh, yeah.
And I felt like I was saving her life. Like, I'm going to tell you this because it's going to wake you up.
Right.
Where she's like, you know, you in a different way. She's saying, you can tell me this in a very different way.
Yes.
In a better way.
Yeah.
Than the way you're saying it.
Good one, Joe.
Thank you, Joe, for that.
Thank you.
And
thank you
you're that. The experiment. So I got better with each one.
Yeah.
I apologize to Everett just slightly. Sam, just a little less. Ray. Well, you better stay good, dude.
So funny. So the little things in your life you feel like you need to be working on with the resiliency.
Yes, little things. And how about for you?
I think
I know.
Other people's business when things don't
relationships.
Yeah, relationships. I'm just all about relationships. Everything to me is about relationships.
Yeah, you are.
Very, very, very relationship oriented. Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you notice, I don't like to do anything alone. Nothing. Yes. Like, I'm a very social creature. I love to collaborate. I love group work. I love doing this podcast. I have you, do everything. I'm like, what do I do alone anymore? I'm like, not really much of anything.
Well, you teach a little more.
Not even go to the bathroom anymore by myself.
With the kiddos, that's not me.
Not you. But yeah, I relationships,
having more resiliency
around relationships. What else? I still have this thing that I want to do good. I want to do a good job. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of us feel that way.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So I don't have a lot of resiliency when I feel like I haven't done a good job. It's not very easy for me to be like, it's all right. I'm going to try again tomorrow. I'll do a better job tomorrow. I'm like, I suck.
Oh, that's what they talk about in the optimism piece.
Yeah. So maybe more optimism. And that might help a lot of those things, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
I think optimism is a great quality. I mean, don't you just love people who are optimistic? Who wants to hang out with the Debbie Downer?
Oh, no. It was like Jenna and Billings. We just did it.
Oh, I know. Oh.
And Jenna Pete. Anyway, Jenna, well, just say your name, but... She is just seems so optimistic. Mm-hmm. And one of the, mm-hmm. she got a lot of feedback this weekend from her participants who attended the trainings and the workshops that she was optimistic and they wanted to, she was modeling for them how to be optimistic, more optimistic.
Yeah. We asked them to list people that they admire and several people listed her and you can feel it. She's just this light, bright woman who affects many people, you know,
in a very sort of quiet manner.
And I wrote about this in the community page just this morning. You were teaching, so I don't know if you've read it, but I was just reflecting back on, we have everyone introduce themselves in the words of somebody who loves them. And the way that she was able to talk about herself through her husband's voice, it was incredibly beautiful to me. Like really impacted me how free that flowed because it just seemed like there's so much health around her relationship with love.
And
I feel like I'm like, I've got some work to do.
What do you say? I have no idea. But she said it like she just really knew him well, too.
Yes. I felt it was really beautiful. I mean, that is the giving and receiving of love. It just seemed so fluid in her life with her partner.
Yeah, that was really, really nice. And she is she seems like an optimist to me.
Right.
You know, because I'm like,
Jenna, I'm sorry you're uncomfortable talking about you like this.
What room should we be in? And me and Kaylee, I'm like, I don't know. And Kaylee looks at me and she's like, what do you think? And I'm like, oh, we could move these bikes. That would take about an hour, you know? And I'm like, I'm kind of frozen here. And then, and Jenna's just kind of free flowing, like, well, not this room.
She's like, sure, this or that.
Oh, that room. And then Kaylee went down the hall and then Kaylee's like, how about this room? Which was a completely different room. And Jenna's like, sure, that's a wonderful idea.
Yeah.
Just very, you know, like to me, I'd be all like, well, that's not what we had scheduled. And, you know, I'm like, oh no, there's bikes in the room we had scheduled. We're going to be, it's done. We're done. But she is very optimistic and positive, and it set the tone of the day to have someone like that.
I'm really drawn to optimistic people too. Like very drawn to optimists.
Yeah. Like I don't,
am I a pessimist? I just feel like I'm more of a...
I don't think you're a pessimist. I was just trying to think, like... You're practical.
Why am I not just, like, so freaking happy all the time? Like, why aren't I?
But I don't think optimists are happy all the time.
No, I don't mean that way. But, like, why... I don't know, like...
I mean, we can be happy all the time. That's weird.
Yeah, but I'm like, Kaylee, I feel like I need to just... But, again, I feel like I'm in my head. I'm always trying to understand...
Right.
I think I would have loved like studying like philosophy or something.
Oh yeah, you would have loved
it. You know, I would have loved it. I'm like anything where I can just like think about like even like
you get
thinking.
Lost,
I totally get lost. I'd be like,
oh, but what about this? And then Nietzsche,
I know.
Oh my God.
That's why I'm like, I got to get out of my head and just more into my life.
Yes, into the present moment. And maybe that's why optimists, maybe they are more.
I think that they're just more like, this is happening now and I can figure it out.
Yeah, good point.
Because I'm resilient.
Yeah.
And I'll figure it out because I trust in myself. I believe in myself. I got this.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. I'm not an optimist, so maybe we need to interview
like
one.
I'm an optimist in something, most things. Like your stuff, relationships, I'm a total optimist.
Oh,
like
yeah.
Like your stuff that bothers
you. But you don't care about relationships as much as I do.
No.
See? Uh-huh. So it doesn't, it's like a non, it's not comparable.
No.
Because I care deeply about relationships.
But I'm like, I'm an optimist.
You're an island is what you are.
I'm an emu.
You're an emu.
Can.
We finally saw that commercial for anyone who listened to last week's podcast. I'm like, what are you talking about, crazy lady? There is a commercial about an emu banging his beak on a window, just
so
everyone knows.
I'm like, Kaylee, it's on. It's the
and
emu.
I saw it and I'm like, huh, that was it, huh? That was it.
That was the thing that struck me as amazing.
As,
and that's my optimism speaking right there. Emu optimism.
Look at you. You can just find the beauty in the small moments, can't you? You're so good at that.
A gift, really. Thank you.
Well, anyways, for you resilient spirits, let us know what you've done, how you do it, what maybe if you were raised resilient, tips that you
give us some tricks.
Maybe you weren't raised as resilient and so you had to develop them as an adult. Like, help us out.
Help us. Help us help you.
Help us help ourselves, actually. Have a great day.
Thanks for listening.
Let's be optimists today.
Optimist.